This is a production of Cornell University.
GPSA meeting December 7th, 2009.
Final GPSA meeting of the calendar year. I guess we're going to shuffle the agenda around a little right now because we do not have a quorum of voting members present, so we cannot vote on the items we needed to vote on. So we will go directly into the discussion meeting, and I guess the first thing we have to talk about is the executive updates.
Just one thing, because the agenda tonight, we are keeping strictly to time, so just like him. All right, Nighthawk, for updates.
Right, thank you. The my only update is that an advisory committee for the provost has been formed for graduate students. There are 10 graduate students on this committee, including four members of the GPSA, and so it's a forum to simply discuss these task force reports that have been coming out about reimagining Cornell. Perhaps you've read about them in the Sun or read about it online. About 20 reports came out, and the GPSA reviewed all these reports, so we're going to try to put together our comments and bring them to Provost Ken Fox so he understands graduate concerns when they're making the final deliberations on these issues. If any of you have read the task force reports or want to read them, they're available for public review in Day Hall. You need to go to Day Hall, the Office of Assemblies, and sit there and read them there. They're not available to take out. But if you want to read them and give us your comments, we'd be happy to compile your comments and bring them to the provost as part of this advisory committee as well. Any questions on that? All right. Brian?
So taking the comments and recommendations that graduate students have already sent to the executives, we're writing a letter to Provost Fox, and it will be sent out tonight with everyone's comments. So it will be one document. And then in January, we're going to have a meeting at some point and actually go through those comments that were sent to the Provost. So at that time, you'll be able to read what we send, and we can discuss that. Yes,
will
Ben?
Will the letter be sent out to members of this body as well? Or?
Yes, after I send it to the Provost, yes. So you will be able to read it before we discuss it.
Okay.
Otherwise, it'll take forever to present everything. So, yes, it'll be sent out to the GPSA members. As for my update, so I thank all the committees that have sent their monthly reports. From that, there were four committees that asked for information. The first one is Slope Day. So we have three GPSA members on the Slope Day committee. If you have any issue about Slope Day, programming, events, times, places, whatever, I encourage you to email Travis Chapin. He's already been getting emails from the GPSA info that was sent out today, so please email him for any concerns you have. From the UA Sustainability Committee, there was a resolution that was passed from the UA, Point of Mortuarium, on the land on Cornell that could be used for natural gas extraction. So if you have any questions or problems or concerns about that drilling, please email Fred. Codes and Judicial, they're currently looking at a discrimination clause for the campus code of conduct. So if you, again, any input you would like on that, please email Ethan. And finally, from IT, Chris Heckman, the committee is looking at host names for office-assigned IP addresses to have the user's net ID in them, and there was some concern about privacy among graduate students. So, again, if that's an issue that you'd like to comment on, please email Chris. With that, we'll next move into committee updates, and first up is the Advocacy Committee. So, Preston?
For the Advocacy Committee, we are currently starting to investigate the possibility of setting up a graduate student gift fund so that we can contribute money directly towards repairing or purchasing something for the Big Red Barn. So we're in negotiation with both the graduate school and Big Red Barn to see how we can move forward on that.
Anything else?
No, that's about it.
All right. Any questions or comments for Creston? Seeing none, moving on to communication. So, Ben or Jamie or both?
I seen both of them.
Okay. Just tell me when to move.
And that slides up. David, you want to go first?
Yeah, so these were all the logos that we received for the design competition. The ones to the far left are just the same with different colors, but we're working on making a final decision about which logo to choose and also about where the logo will be located. And then another thing that I wanted to bring up is... Oh, right. So we've sent in a letter to all the DGSs on campus, basically just reaching out to them, giving them the GPSA as a resource, and also trying to let them know that if they don't already have field representatives, that they should get in touch with us and we'll give them more information. And we've had quite a few responses about that so far. So, can I continue there then?
And I guess the other issues we discussed in our committee meeting this last month, one big thing we're trying to figure out how to do better is make meetings like this not have as high a barrier for field reps to interact. We feel like that the voting members aren't really interacting with non-voting members enough, so we'd like this to not be stressful for people to stand up in front of or behind everybody and talk. So we, with the events committee, put together an informal coffee hour, which only voting members came to, I think. So we're trying to come up with some ways to bridge this divide, and we'd be really open to ways to facilitate communication within the GPSA a little better. And we'd really like more input on that. The other issue, of course, since I'm here, is the blog. The update, we've had 4,324 people look at the blog, 63 today. So there are, in fact, people looking at the blog. One way to add communication might be to have some of you field reps bring up issues on the blog. And so we may be coming to you asking for profile information to say, hey, look, this is a field rep and this is what they care about. Or if you'd like to bring issues up, emailing me is probably the easiest way to do it. I'm BDH32.
Was that unique hit, or was that the voting council looking at the blog a lot of times?
Those are unique hits. So by IP address, anyway. And that doesn't count me. No, I just run it up. So. It would probably about double it, if it's mine. I think that's it for the communication committee. There's other things in the works, but please communicate with us, give us suggestions, and help us communicate to other people as well.
Thanks, Brent.
Thank you. So going back to the agenda, because we now have enough voting members, we're going to switch to the voting part of the meeting, and for that, Nighthawk will be chairing that, not me.
Thank you. It's kind of my attention that perhaps we have some folks in the room that aren't here normally. So if you are new to a GPSA meeting or are here for a particular reason, if you could introduce yourselves and maybe tell us why you're joining us tonight.
I'm Dami Herat. I'm the Executive Director of the Women's Opportunity Center. I'm here representing the United Way. I think you're supposed to give a little presentation today. We're very happy you invited us. And I'll wait for my time.
Great. We have you in 3 minutes, I think.
Hi, I'm James Brown. I'm President of the United Way, and I am here with Dami just to talk to you a little bit about United Way, and thank you for the opportunity to come tonight.
Thank you for being here. And for those of you that... Oh, yes, sir.
Hello, I'm Krishna. I just came to find the advocacy committee and just here to participate.
Thank you. Thank you for coming, Krishna. And there are a few individuals in the audience that are here with us basically all the time, but they're not graduate students, so you may not know them. So I'd like to introduce Dean of Students, Ken Hubble, here.
Hi.
Our faculty advisor.
Thanks for dinner.
And Amy and Ari in the back, and Brittany from the Office of Assemblies. So just so you don't feel like you know everyone. I guess perhaps we'll go into the United Way talk right now, because I don't think we have enough time to clear our voting matters. So if you'd like to come up. Yeah, Dami, James.
Thank you. Again, thank you very much for coming. I know that you're all very busy people and you have a full agenda tonight. And we really appreciate the opportunity just to speak with you a little bit about United Way and some of the impact that it's having in the community and to give you the opportunity to participate in this year's campaign, because this year, more than any year, we need help in trying to meet the needs in the county. With the reduction in public funds, cutbacks in workplaces across the community, corporate giving this year will be down We know that the only way that we can make the difference that we have been able to extend across our community for the last few years is if individuals participate. Corporate donations just will not keep track. We at this point are running a little behind where we have in previous campaigns, and the reason that we're not further behind is because individuals have stepped up to try to fill the difference. So our goal is to speak to as many people and to let you know about the impact that some of the impact the United Way has in the community. And I know I was here on campus yesterday in a conversation, and I know United Way is very prominent when we're here at campaign time, and we talked about the need to show the impact that the dollars have, that really makes a difference in people's lives. You know, that people are able to get access to prescription care when they don't have insurance, they don't have money, that people are able to access food, and they're able to access resources for housing. So it makes a difference in people's lives all across the community, and we appreciate the chance to talk to you. And my good friend Dami is here to talk to you about her agency and some of the really important work that they do in helping people work through some difficult transitions in their life. And she will talk to you about some of the demands that they see now that they haven't seen in the past. And it's always a pleasure for me to be with Dami. We work across the street from each other, and I rarely see her. She does so much for this community. She brings resources in from outside, public money, private money. She does all that she can to help make this a better community. So I will step aside and let her tell you a little about some of the great stuff that she is doing with her agency, Women's Opportunity.
He's always kind to me. I never expected such a big crowd, so I didn't bring that many messages, but if you can pass this around, and if you can't get one, then my card is there. So it's such a pleasure to come and talk to a young generation who are so into giving and caring. And I work for the Women's Opportunity Center for 22 years now. I actually got my PhD from Cornell a long time ago, before you were born probably. But I have the pleasure of going to work every day because of the difference we make. And the United Way has been part of our agency, giving us money. We get about $30,000 from the United Way. And the difference the United Way, our budget is over $1 million. But the difference the United Way gave is, it's not a line item budget. That is very critical for the population we serve. The state and federal funding is all line item. That means I cannot make a decision to who to give what to do without going through the approval, and by that time it's all too late. The women who come to our center, we serve a population that are very, very underprivileged, mostly women who are single mothers and some are who are displaced homemakers who have been taking care of their families and lost that support and now have to support their families. So we have about 500 women going through our program every year. And what we do, I have about 10 staff members in our office. They go through each person individually and help them to learn the new skills and find them a job. But they come with so many barriers, such as childcare, transportation. They don't have a way of coming to our office unless we give them some support. And I talked to the federal, one of the programs, and I said, I need bus passes. They said, don't make a habit of that, giving them bus passes. Just let them learn how to get to your place. I mean, they don't understand. They think in Ithaca is only a city, we can walk. But Tompkins County is a rural area, and there are no transportation, no cars. I mean, they don't have cars, no buses even. And there's a bus in the morning, bus in the afternoon. But with the United Way money, I can give them a bus pass. I can make sure that they get through the training. And once they get a job, even I can continue to give a bus pass for 30 days so they get their first paycheck and they can get established. We made a difference. About 146 women got jobs last year, and they became, out of the welfare system, they became economically independent, which is a huge thing in this the way that the life is now. And for the past 22 years, I mean, this is something you always have to remember when you're writing your checks or giving some donations or volunteering your hours. This is a critical, critical year. If you are thinking that there are no jobs for educated graduating students, can you imagine how it is for the women who can't have the food on the table for that night? They can't find jobs. Very hard to find jobs. And they're competing with qualified people for even for McDonald's jobs now. And what I have seen for the first time in my life in our office is, I don't want to use the word stealing, but we are losing toilet paper, tissue rolls. We are losing so many things because they cannot afford to get toilet paper. And if you go to the supermarket, you know it's $6 or something as well of toilet, which you flush in the toilet. And for them, why do they spend that little money they have to buy that? And rather than feeding their children. The group of women came to our office, and one woman, we have a dressing room. Our program offers clothing for women to go in for interviews. So one woman was actually getting dressed, and one of my staff members said, you can't wear a white blouse without a bra if you're going for an interview. She looked at her and said that, would you spend money for underwear if you have 4 children to feed? I never spend money to buy underwear. And if that is your mother or my mother, what would we feel? That is how she raised us. That's how they do it. I went to the Senate and I gave a little speech and I told them, you all should hide under the table because this is the richest country and women should choose between their underwear and feeding families. They didn't give us the money. She said, can you imagine if we put a line item budget for you, women's underwear, what will the rest of the world think about them? But the United Way gave us the money that year. And this year also, I wrote a grant for the United Way for bare necessities, I call it, for women to buy all the toilet paper, tissues and everything. Who gave us the money? The United Way. They understand, because they're local, they understand the need, the basic level, rather than the political. They don't care, but they have no political agenda. It's all what we need in to make our community a better community. Because of all of us, you can walk in the street freely and you can be proud of looking at shopping at stores. I mean, when you really think about the community you live in, it's a better community, partly because of the United Way, partly because of your donation. So you can take the credit as well as you can be proud of the program. It's amazing, and the United Way, you have to understand also that nothing goes for the overhead. All their salaries, corporate is given separately. So what you go directly, we don't take our salaries from the United Way funds either. It goes directly to help the women or children. Or there are so many other programs. If you, I don't know whether you have the brochures for United Way, you can go online, United Way, and look at all the programs. And you can choose to, if you're passionate about the program, you can decide to give into that program. Or you can choose the general fund, which they will very generously allocate to very fairly. And there it is. And my board always asks me, because United Way application, honestly, it takes so much time of my time than my other funders, which I'm getting $1 million. It takes. And but at the end, you know, you are dreading to go to the physical. When your parents force you to go, you go. But then when you come back, you know you're healthy. It's like that. After I go through the United Way screening, they look at every step what we do. And once they approve, you feel good about you. And you feel good, you have to feel good that your money goes to a place where they scrutinize you. They want to know exactly what you do with the money. We have to send reports. And they come and visit their team. They have a different committees. They come and visit our programs. They go through all that. So it's really a good choice for you all to do. If you're, I don't say if, but I think you all should. You're a young generation. I'm not asking you to cut your coffee cup. I have daughters like yours. I always tell them, don't buy the large cup, buy the small cup. If you give the difference between the large cup and the small cup, it is enough for a bus pass for a woman. So make choices. This is the time for you to make choices. You don't have to go to somewhere and buy a 100% silk for something. Cotton is good enough for this time. So buy something different. Do something different. I know Cornell is a good community. I live with you all a long time ago, but just make choices, and you are building your next, you never know who you are helping you. It can be your next boss that you are helping. That world is in an unbelievable situation, so making changes every day, and be part of it. And if you have time, United Way have list of places where you can volunteer. If you can't give any money, and your students, I know it is tight, go and give, even if our office, if you have even 1 hour, we have women who don't know the difference between a real mouse and a computer mouse. So come and show them. 1 hour is enough to make a difference in somebody's life. And just be part of it. And I realize every woman who walked through the door taught me more than I taught them. And you work, learn about the life, you learn how you save everything, how you manage your life, how you balance. They are amazing, powerful women. So be part of it. I mean, I'm really asking you all. And you all are here because you care. Otherwise, you won't be listening to me. You'll walk out. But just think about it and do something. Even take an extra job. I keep telling my one daughter actually do extra job just to give. If you have evening, Saturday, instead of watching TV, you can say, I'm going to take a job and I'll write that check to the United Way. Just make an effort and be an example to the other universities. You put it in your Facebook. This is what the class GPS did this year to help support the United Way. Join us. Make a big effort. Make a difference. I mean, I have seen, you probably watched the CNN, My Heroes, Heroes Around the World. Be a hero. Make a difference. I mean, be proud of your college and do something. And if you want anything that I can do, just call us and come and see the program. We started recently. The good thing about our program is that's why we are successful. We have been growing every year. We look at the needs of the women and we change our program. There's no cookie cutter program. So recently we started, excuse me for the time, my kids don't know that I'm here. Recently we started the training program. And it is the store. If you go to the Fourth Street, you will see it's called Second Son Fourth. And we sell youth donated clothing. And 56 women went through that program. And 29 women got jobs. They had never worked before anywhere. They are all on welfare. And these women got jobs. So we are looking for volunteers to help them to train the cash register or custom skills and anything that you all can do, come and help us. And I'm not trying to sell our programs. The United Way is the place and you can go through the list and find a place that you're passionate about. And thank you for giving me a chance. And if you have any questions, you know me, wherever I am, call me, come and see us. And thank you. And
thank
if you have any questions, I'm here and
yes. Thank you, Dami and James. Perhaps our guests that have entered, if you could introduce yourself.
Sure. James, have you spoken yet?
I have.
Okay. My name is Richie Moran. I actually started here at Cornell in 1968. Mm-hmm. I was going to come here for a brief, probably 6 months, and then move on. Stayed here ever since. I've been involved in community nonprofits, 7 of them all together. When I retired, I actually coached here for 30 years, coaching across from Cornell. And when I retired, my wife thought I was going to be probably a carpenter, redo the house, redo the kitchen. I got involved in 7 nonprofits. And you were very inspiring, your talk tonight.
Thank you.
Very, very much so. I started out actually contributing to Boy Sound when I was in the 7th grade. And my parents were from Ireland, very caring, very giving. I was the last of 8 children, so of course there was a lot of caring and a lot of giving. And basically what was involved in my particular situation is that the nonprofits I'm involved in, you may see Gadabout that goes around town here. It's a crimson yellow bus. We now have about 14 of them. Well, Gadabout really enables the elderly to get around to various appointments, medical appointments, dental appointments, do some shopping. In the past, they were cloistered. They didn't get out too often. So it's really nice that Gadabout does this. Now, Gadabout receives a percentage of money from United Way. And it was mentioned earlier, and I'm sure it was mentioned by James, all the money that's contributed here in Tompkins County stays in Tompkins County. I also work at the Racker Center, which is for disabled youth and adults. That is a very, very wonderful organization. They receive funding from United Way. The Community Chest, that used to be the big organization in the community here, was here until 1970. United Way came in 1970, and at Cornell, set in a room just like you are right now, and they asked for volunteers. And believe it or not, 3 people raised their hand out of a group of probably about 150. And I'm glad I raised my hand, because it gave me an opportunity to get familiar with the United Way, I've been involved with them since that period of time. I will continue to be involved with them. The agencies, James, do they have pledge cards?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
It's on the website.
It's on the website, too. I'm sorry.
On the website.
Excellent. The agencies that are helped by United Way are numerous. The affiliates deal a lot with charity, a lot with food pantries. Every day we pick up a newspaper and we look at what food pantries and what caregiving organizations are going through. And that is really very, very difficult. Food pantries here in Ithaca are probably down 40 to 60% with gifts and food. Now, that's really a tough statistic. We hear the statistic about jobs, we hear the statistic about economy, but this is very, very difficult for this community. So with the help of United Way and various other organizations, and with the help of Cornell University, I love it here at Cornell. I've stayed here and I will continue to stay here. I live in the community. And what you do as students and professional people here at Cornell is really astronomical. We greatly appreciate it. As I mentioned, the help that you give us is greatly appreciated. Your relation to getting a small cup of coffee or a large cup of coffee, I think it's fantastic. Every cent helps us tremendously. And it's a privilege for me to be working with James and the committee that is with the United Way. And once again, if you have any questions, we'd be more than happy to answer them. Thank you very much. Hope you have a very, very successful conclusion of your semester. And above all, a great holiday season. Thank you very much.
Deputy Provost.
Okay. Thanks. Apologize for being, there was miscommunication on time. I thought we were at 6 o'clock, so I apologize.
Oh, sorry.
So my office is the wrong stuff. So I'll just close, because I don't know what you've already heard. I don't want to spend your time listening to it more than once, although I think it's worth listening to more than once. I won't do that. I just want to say that there are many ways to participate. I know the grad students, some grad students don't have much in the way of resources. I remember being a grad student and didn't have much on myself, much less giving to others. But there's some grad students that do, and I think there's those posters that are on campus. I think there's one on our website that talks about, you know, just, you know, a video once a month or something else, and how that can make a difference. So let me just talk about three asks, if you will. One is the obvious donate. So if you can, if you have the ability to, it'd be great if you could go on the website and click donate online and contribute. I checked, someone had me check, I remember who it was, the person might be here. Grad students actually can do payroll deduction. Someone had asked me that. And if you have a fellowship or some other source in which you're paid by Cornell, you can actually go on and contribute, you know, $5, whatever it is, a paycheck. You can do that if you're so inclined. The other way, another way to donate is, I don't know if you already talked about the box with the big red barn.
Not yet. It's right here. I'm going next.
Why don't you hold that up? There we go. Not sure if that's abusing a grad student, making you do that or not, but hopefully you'll give me a pass in this meeting. So this will be at the big red barn, and so it's an opportunity for you to just drop in whatever change you might have. Another thing to say is that December 10th, which is this Friday?
Thursday.
It's the last grads night out, so that's at Level B. And Level B, in partnership with the GPSA and United Way, will be making a contribution to United Way. In addition, they'll be donating $1 per drink ordered before 11 o'clock. So arrive early, consume responsibly. Once you decide how much you'd like to consume, I encourage you to do so early. And, you know, beer doesn't get that old that fast. So you're going to have a drink 11:10, order it at 10:59, up to United Way. And the last two things, I just ask that send me an email, deputyprovost@cornell.edu. If you hear from people anything about United Way, any concerns they have about United Way and participating, because we'd love to address those. And last, just ask that you be out there, mention to others where appropriate about United Way. And just to close my portion with the share the warmth. I don't know if you talked about that already. So share the warmth. There's these boxes around campus. Many of you may have seen these where you can drop in old clothing. Some of many grad students have children. If you either have excess winter clothing, boots, hats, coats, and so forth, or you need it, there's an opportunity to share the warmth. But this is, as a person our cabinet mentioned this morning, supposed to be a big snowstorm this week. And this is when both the haves and the have-nots, as a parent I can tell you this, you realize, uh-oh, I forgot to take care of the winter clothes. My kid's now bigger. Uh-oh, I better run out to Target or something and get a new pair of boots. Well, if you're in that position and you run out to get some new ones, I do ask that you think about dropping your old ones off in the box to help someone who needs it in town. And if you need it, you know, Catholic Charities down by BJM is there to help you. So thanks for all your time. I know it's a lot of time, but it's important for our community, important for grad students.
Well, I'd like to thank Deputy Provost Harris and our guests. Other questions for any of our guests or the Provost?
I have two questions, actually. I'm just curious if any of you could share a couple words about basic how United Way works.
Sure.
Why should we give money to United Way instead of directly to organizations? And secondly, why does Cornell get involved in United
Sure.
Way?
Sure. So those are, I had 3 points at the beginning, but I thought maybe they were addressed, and this was one of them. So the 3 points were why give to United Way, why give now, and why give to agencies through the United Way campaign. So there you go. So why give to United Way, it's important to keep in mind that 100% of your gift, as you already heard, goes directly to the agency. It's also important to realize that they have a general fund. So if you're someone who has some disposable income, you know, it's $50, whatever you have, and you're thinking this time of year that you'd like to help out someone who's less fortunate, probability is you don't really know which agency's in the greatest need. You might think Loaves and Fishes, you might think Catholic Charities, but it might be that everybody's thinking Loaves and Fishes and Catholic Charities. And there's some other agency that you might care about that nobody's thinking about, but they're actually really hurting. If everyone just gives directly, it's very difficult to distribute the money where it's most needed. So James could talk about this in detail, but United Way has a formula that they use, a committee that works very hard to try to understand what the needs are around town and distribute the money if you choose to put your money in the general fund. You can also allocate directly to whatever agency it is, but they also allow you to put a general fund to have allocated. Second, giving now, as you heard Richie say, the need's up all over the place. I'm sure most of you know that these are difficult economic times for Cornell, and we had a 7% staff reduction in the last year as of June 30 to July 1, 2009. And we're not done, as you've probably heard. Cornell still has $135 million deficit out there, and that can't all be non-personnel. So what that tells you is that there's an increasing need in this community for assistance, and that need will continue. I was just here this morning. If those of you who read the Ithaca Journal on the cover, it was this striking, this jarring earlier this week. There was a picture of an older gentleman at Loaves and Fishes. Did anybody notice that? He was getting help. Someone told me this morning that was actually a Cornell professor and his wife who were getting help. One of the things we hear, I've heard it from several people, is there's individuals getting help now who never got help in the past and never imagined they would need help. I hate to say this, but it's only going to get worse moving on. And then the last is, why through Cornell? I think that part of the reason is that if you decide to give your $25, $50, whatever it is, dollars you're going to give individually, we don't actually get credit as a Cornell community for saying we're here with the Tompkins County community in good times and bad. We can bundle our money and make a statement to our neighbors that Cornell is not just here when things are good, that Cornell is not just contributing to the problem through personnel actions, but Cornell community members, not Davis Gordon, although he makes a contribution, of course, but all of us, decide to dig in a little deeper and help out our neighbor. So that's the why. That's why I get through United Way Cornell instead of just directly. Sorry if that's long, but I'm ready for that one.
Any other questions for our guests? Yes.
Where are the Share the Warmth boxes located?
They're all over. I saw one this morning. I know there's one at Mann Library. I saw one over at the Statler today.
Straight.
Sorry?
Siegel Hall.
They're all over the place. I know it's one at Day Hall. I see it every day. I've heard they emptied the one at Mann. I heard this morning 7 times or something already. Had a lot of stuff come in. And it changed. I think I also heard that they already got cleared out of all the stuff they had.
They cleared out everything they had to Share the Warmth within the first 3 days.
Yeah. So there's still a need out there. That's the point I made earlier. Yes,
sir? Are there opportunities to, since a lot of us are representatives of various fields within the campus, are there opportunities for us to sign up within a group or go back to your program and say, hey, you guys all want to get together and do something at the same time, stuff like that?
Right. So there are volunteer opportunities. Yeah. Through Share the Warmth, it's something you see. I think it's on there as events and volunteer opportunities on the website. And they need help once they get more supply in sorting it. As James has told me, there's just a huge pile of stuff that comes in. You got to figure out, what's worth keeping, what isn't, sizes, genders, clothes, all that kind of stuff. So there's many opportunities. That's one. But if you contact us or contact the United Way Tompkins County, they can connect you. Thanks for asking.
Well, I think we kind of took our schedule.
Yep.
Deputy Provost Harris, thank you for coming. Please join me in thanking all of our guests for helping us learn a little bit more about the need in our area.
Thank you.
Next. Okay, we're going into the voting council meeting, the special 10-minute voting council meeting for approval of the ad hoc committee, since we now have a quorum present. So I'll turn it over to, not the chair, but I'll turn the floor to Brian to make a motion for approval of certain committees, and he'll explain why we need to approve these committees.
So just briefly what the ad hoc committees are. These are committees that the GPSA Operations and Staffing Committee have decided should be put in place. They're temporary committees to address certain things that are not necessarily mentioned in other committees or something that the GPSA feels needs more committee representation on. Ad hoc committee membership needs three members. One member must be of the requesting standing committee, and committee membership may be recommended by the requesting standing committee. So there are two from operations and staffing and one from student advocacy. The first one is the ad hoc sustainability committee. Operations and staffing is requesting it, and Erica, who is an operations and staffing member, is the chair of the committee. This was set up in after looking at the number of applicants for the sustainability committee to the UA's sustainability committee, but that seat was taken by Fred till next year. So in response to the large number of applications for that, the GPSA decided that we should set up an ad hoc committee. So with that, I'd like to make a motion to approve the formation of the sustainability ad hoc committee.
So before I get a second on that motion, the way this works is, so at one meeting per year, we're allowed to handle administrative business, and that's why we're doing that at this meeting.
Actually,
well, so at one meeting a year, we're allowed to handle administrative business, and then we're also allowed to create a special meeting at any point during the given year to handle administrative business. And this meeting is serving as both of those purposes, so... the reason we're doing this now is because at the end of the year we want to get some stuff off the table before January 20th or whenever we're coming back in session. So only voting members, if you have one of the green tags. I need a second on Brian's motion to create this ad hoc committee.
Motion by second by Leon.
Second by Leon. And please raise your placards if you are in favor.
So 11.
Any in opposition? Those abstaining? At a vote of 11-0-0, the Ad Hoc Committee on Sustainability has been created.
The second committee is the Ad Hoc Graduate Mental Health Committee. This is in response to the GPSA Resolution 6 of last year, asking for a special committee to specifically look at mental health issues for graduate students. The Operations and Staffing Committee is the requesting committee. I'm on the committee, so I'm the Operations Staffing Rep. And the committee chair is Ed. Is Ed here tonight? Yes, he is. So that's Ed. He's our chair. With that, I would like to make a motion for approval of the GPSA Ad Hoc Mental Health Committee.
I would entertain a motion to acclimate.
So moved.
Is there any dissension? Seeing none, the committee has been approved.
Okay. Last one is the Ad Hoc Committee on Data Collection and Analysis. This was in response to the fall 2009 GPSA survey that went out over our blog asking questions about our activity fee. The committee is interested in improving GPSA surveys as well as analysis. The committee, the requesting committee is doing advocacy. The chair is yet to be determined. Mike Genkin is the advocacy member who will be on the committee. And with that, I'd like to make a motion to approve the formation of the Data Collection Analysis Ad Hoc Committee.
Chair, would entertain a motion to acclimate.
Motion.
Moved by Srish. Any dissension? Seeing none, we have three new committees now. And if any of you were in the audience that aren't a voting member, I swear that all the stuff that the voting council does is not this boring. So in April, do not be turned off to joining the voting council by this tape. Hopefully, joining on some presentation on the sustainability resolution should give a little more flavor of the sort of things we do rather than this. So thank you, everyone. Now I'll pass the chair back to Brian because we're moving back into the discussion meeting.
Okay. So with that, according to the agenda, we're up to Resolution R4 at this time, so we'll go ahead and do Resolution R4, and then at the end we'll come back to the last two committee chairs. So with that, I invite Yolanda to come up and briefly explain Resolution R4. So before I do, actually, so as Nighthawk has said, we all have one item to vote on at a discussion meeting. So this semester it's going to be the voting of Resolution R4. So everyone is encouraged to speak up if you have any questions or concerns. However, it is only the voting members that can vote on Resolution R4. And with that, I will stop talking.
Okay, thank you. I presented this resolution to you and whoever else is here about a month ago at the last advisory bodies meeting. Just to recap briefly what I said there, the working with the Sustainability Committee that has now been created and the Undergraduate Environmental Committee, we've noticed that there is a lot of excess energy being wasted at night by lights not being turned off. As the weather gets cold, there are also windows being left open. A lot of the newer buildings have television screens left on overnight. There's things that low-hanging fruits that we could make an impact on with regards to environmental sustainability. And we'd like to get moving with it, I guess. To stop talking and to get something done. So this resolution basically says, here's what we found. We ran a short pilot study finding that about 0.1% of Cornwall's carbon emissions could be cut by turning off lights in buildings at night. And maybe it would be a good way to mobilise students, especially with a large number of undergraduate students who are interested in the environment and the different groups that are there. To get them involved in doing something concrete, and that's what we'd like to get on with it, I guess. There's been a number of questions raised that shouldn't we be doing more, and I think I represent all of the committees in saying yes, we should all be doing more, but this is the first step. Let's make the first step, let's get it working, and we'll see what we can do from there. Thank you.
I'll open up the floor. Does anyone have any questions or comments or concerns? We'll start with Ben. Yes.
Can we do the next slide off of this?
Yes.
Thank you.
So I actually have a question. Could you explain the formation of a task force, what that means?
We would like to create a task force to present a proposal to the university. If we're going to get something done officially, I can turn off lights in my building without asking any permissions, but to organise something campus-wide, we really should be working with the utilities and facilities management, with building managers, with deans of the various schools, to come up with a programme that will work. We also need a way of promoting communication between people to get something organised, and the idea was to create a task force that would bring all of these together and create a proposal to present to the GPSA and Student Assembly early next year.
Any other questions, comments or concerns regarding Resolution R4? The Chair will entertain a motion to approve Resolution R4. So moved by Shreech. Do I have a second? Seconded by Ben, okay. All those in favor of approving R4, please raise your placards at this time. Are you voting?
No.
Okay, that's 10. Any against? Abstentions? By a vote of 10-0-1, Resolution R4 passes. Thank you. We'll jump back up now. Before you sit down, would you like to do the committee?
Okay. Well, let me just say that, you know, I had actually heard that there was going to be more debate on this, so I'm sorry to have displeased anyone that was, you know, looking to see a fight break out or something, but apparently you had some really good wording in there. So thanks.
Okay. So if you could present on your newly formed Ad Hoc Sustainability Committee.
Okay. I've been working with the Ad Hoc Sustainability Committee for a few months now. I didn't realise that we weren't actually a committee until just now.
It was a procedural problem. We had formed it and then we realised that we didn't have the authority to do so.
And you were about to pass a resolution on a committee we didn't vote on, so that's why we did that first.
Okay, great. okay, well, we've come up with a bunch of working procedures that we'd like the, this committee to work towards. What have we got here? I saw these slides last night. Basically, there are a lot of undergraduate groups. There are a lot of university-wide staff things to do with sustainability, but as far as I know, this is the only graduate student-oriented group looking at sustainability issues. And that's really what we want to look at. We want to promote sustainable behaviour among graduate students. And the rest of this is mainly administrivia. I think the important one is to liaise with other environmental groups to find out what's happening. Can I get a show of hands? Who knows some of the environmental things that are happening on campus? That's what I thought. There are actually a lot of environmental programs going on campus, but most of them aren't seen. And one of the things that we would really like to work towards is to get that out to you, to see, show you what's happening, to show the rest of your, who you represent, what's happening, and to show you what we can do in little steps, and little steps do add up to a lot. Two of our projects, we've got TGIF Goes Couplers. I think Stanford or Yale, one of the universities had their TGIF and they said, right, we're not going to provide cups, we're not going to provide plastic cups at TGIF anymore. And they came out very strong with this and they brought out their GPSA mugs and apparently everybody turns up to TGIF with their own cup now. I don't know how many cups TGIF goes through each week, but even though they are compostable, it's an expense that's not necessary and, well, it's also waste that it does take time to compost. So we're moving forward to that, which is great. Once the communications committee chooses the logo, we'll have them printed on the cups. I think we plan to sell the cups for about $2 each at TGIF, which I think is a steal. It sounds great to me, and I hope you can get everybody excited just for putting their GPSA cup on.
I forget, did you guys have budget for this, right? Yeah, a little bit.
The
communications committee, that's part of the merchandise that was.
Oh, okay, yeah.
The committee has been in touch with the Greek Garden and the Graduate School and the Communications Committee, and we're working together to get this working early next semester, which sounds great. Otherwise, we also have the Lights Off Cornell project that I've just talked about before. So.
Is there a way that these meetings can be become involved with a couple of initiatives? It would be great to broader ambitions that have, facilities to practice what we teach,
That sounds like a good idea.
Cut down on the paperwork. I don't know if that's something we can...
We could discuss that for the spring semester with the execs and the Office of Assembly.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly something that... if people were open to it, then that's definitely something we could discuss. And I mean, Vice President Erica, who couldn't be here tonight because she's out of town, is a member on the Sustainability Committee, and I think she'd probably push for that if there's interest in it as well.
Yeah, I thought it could be a reminder in the emails about the meeting.
We have actually discussed this at the
Is there another comment?
Any other questions for Spindle? Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
With our Lights Off Cornell program, as I mentioned, we will be forming a task force. I would really like some graduate students to be involved with this task force. The undergraduates seem very keen to get involved, but I would, if any of you are interested in joining, please come see me afterwards.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You guys are all welcome to have input too. I don't mean to monopolize all the comments. One place the graduate students are particularly involved is in labs, and I know that all grad students are supposed to have laboratory safety training as part of the orientation to get into labs. I think it would be fantastic if sustainability, energy conservation education could be incorporated with the laboratory safety orientation work with BHMS. So I encourage the committee to check out BHMS contacts as far as how that curriculum gets put together.
Okay, thank you very much.
Next up, we have the events committee. So, Sharice.
Hi, everyone. As you heard from Deputy Provost, that we're having our last Grads Night Out event this Thursday. I really encourage you guys to come. Level B was very generous in. They're also going to donate the proceeds that usually go towards the DJ for that night, and GPSA's very own cousin Marcel is going to be DJing that event, so please come say hi to him, and if you know him, you can probably get requests and, you know, figure out how to go. So what we're going to try to do in the future is every Grad Night Out event or mixer that we have, we're going to ask, if we don't have any budget of our own to fundraise and, you know, get tickets and stuff for that, we're going to ask the bars and the places, the establishments that we go to donate a portion of their the profits that they make from that event to go towards United Way. If you also have any United Way questions, I'm the United Way representative for the GPSA, so you can direct those towards me as well. So that's this Thursday, December 10th. And then we also have Grads Movie Night this Friday. Thank you to Cornell Cinema for putting this together. Grad students' tickets are only $2, and it seems like a very interesting movie. So. You can attend that, as well as the following day, the Shorts Theater Company has donated. So they're going to do 50 cents for every ticket sold goes towards United Way. So I encourage you guys to attend this holiday spectacular show, as I've been told. And get your tickets soon because they are running out.
Any questions or comments for Shreech?
And this will be our last weekend of events for this semester, so everything else will resume next semester. So, any questions?
Okay.
Hope you guys have a good weekend.
Yeah. Sri Shan, I know you've been keeping us up to date really, you know, proactively, I guess, about the events committee stuff, but maybe if you could just send us one more email with...
Yes, so I will be emailing all these information to the GPSA members so you guys can distribute it to your dealers.
That's great.
So please help advertise all.
And all three events were sent out in the GPSA info that Ashwan emailed out this morning. So they're also there.
And they're all events on Facebook too, so you should have gotten an invite if you're part of the Cornell Graduate Professional Students Facebook group.
And if you're not, joined.
Yeah.
Thanks, Richie.
Yeah.
Okay, next up we have Dave Walden, our architect and mastermind with our activity fee.
Okay. See, the last time you guys heard about the activity fee, so now you guys heard it.
Yes, a round of applause, Dave.
So these are the final breakdown. This is the final breakdown of the activity fee. Most of you, if not all of you, have seen this. I'm not going to go line by line and bore you with the details for the eighth time. Just wanted to point out a couple things. The first is, how does this compare to what the Appropriations Committee recommended? It's nearly identical. Obviously, the two differences are Slope Day and Cornell Cinema. Before we met on the final meeting to finalize this, the Appropriations Committee met and kind of predicted scenarios that were likely to unfold during the conversation. And this was a scenario that were very similar to a scenario we predicted. Everybody on the committee unanimously approved these amounts. One of our primary concerns was the fact that Slope Day was going to charge us tickets for the actual concerts. We felt this was going to be disastrous on many fronts. No grads would go based on our survey. We'd create a big rift between the GPSA and the SA. So that was one of our goals, to get to a point where we felt that they would not charge us tickets. They quoted 324 as parity. We got to 307. Didn't get to the level, but I think it is at a level where they have not charged tickets. It's a 100% increase from the last byline funding year. So they should be pleased with that. And I've reached out to Dan Tracy, he kind of gave his thoughts and things, but I haven't heard back yet. So, $76 was the final number. This was got pretty good support based on the survey and conversation with a lot of you. It goes a long way to supporting some of these groups that we were, in favor of supporting. Not too big, of an increase in the grand scheme of things. So we felt that we did get to a number that most people can be happy with. Okay, there's two things that I wanted to get accomplished during this, and what the committee wanted to get accomplished, and that was increasing transparency and involvement in this process. A couple things. We had a blog set up by yours truly, Ben Hebner, back there. We had a lot of good debate on that. A lot of good questions came out of that. We also had the byline groups meet with the advisory board, so you guys got to ask them some pretty direct questions, needless to say. So that was good. And then we also, I think, I would have liked to see more questions directed towards the appropriations committee that would have been directed to the groups when we met with them. I don't know if that was a function of that you got to ask questions directly when the filing groups came, but I would have liked to see that more. And then the survey, the one that I created and the one that Erica created, I think is something that's obviously going to continue going forward. And I think it helped us, and because one of our major obstacles that we found out very quickly was that there was no hard data for us to go on. We just kind of heard like snippets and anecdotes, and I think this was a really good way for us to get people involved and for us to get some good hard information to fall back on. And then next steps, you know, let's go. Here we go. R3 has been sent to President Gorton for final approval. As Brian said, we have three slope day representatives, or three representatives on slope day. Hopefully, we'll be able to act as a force to kind of get some of the things that we want to see done in slope day done. So I definitely encourage you to utilize them and send them any comments or questions that you have. Continuing to work with Cornell Cinema, obviously that was a huge point of debate for us. I reached out to Mary to offer services from the Johnson School to see if they, you know, could use an extra pair of hands for a project or, you know, a deeper look into, you know, how their business is run. She seemed open to it, and I'll push her on that more.
I just have a quick question. Do you know what happened to the, I haven't read the papers anymore, the student assembly, what they did with
Pindall. Cornell Cinema. And then, go ahead.
I'm sorry, Mike.
There was a sense by Cornell Cinema that they expressed at that meeting that they realized that the student activity fee is not probably the best funding source for them to depend on. It's between the undergrads and the grads, it's about 40% of their budget comes from the student activity fee, which is double any other source, including ticket sales and the funding from the university. And so I think what they expressed at that meeting was they're going to be looking over the next 2 years to divest from undergraduate and graduate student activity fee money, not completely, but to a point that's more, that minimizes the risk and to themselves.
Just one more thing about Cornell Cinema before Dave continues. In the spring, we're going to be looking at our charter and the bylaws for the funding, and we're going to look at the possibility of having, as in the case of Slope Day, we have representatives that go to the Slope Day Programming Board. We may see if we could have a GPSA representative be sent to Cornell Cinema's advisory board. So GPSA presence would be there.
Sure. And I reached out to Larry Quant, who is the head of athletics. One of the complaints that we heard through the bylaw process was that summer hours for the gyms here weren't really conducive to some grad schedules, and he's more than happy to kind of explore that issue, and Sreach has kindly volunteered to take that on. So if you have any compliments, complaints, questions, concerns, funnel it to Sreach, and don't CC me on it. So I honestly hope that you guys can find something that works out mutually beneficial to both groups. And then later, this will start this semester, but probably won't get finished until next semester, is a website. It's just going to increase more transparency about the activity fee. So basically they'll say, here's the group, how much they get, here's how much they get, here are the services that they provide to the graduate community. That said, that I think officially closes the activity fee season. If anybody has any feedback for me in terms of how this was run, by all means, email me. I would like to pass that down to the next appropriations committee, and then hopefully pass that down to the next one. The whole goal is to make it run a lot smoother and more transparent. So feel free, be harsh. I can take it. That said, I would like to thank some people. I would like to thank my appropriations committee. Sorry, only one of them is here, but they put in a lot of extra hours outside of their studies and read a lot of applications, so thank you. The exec board, they were definitely an important part of the process and answer.
We paid the same.
And my questions, and thank you to everybody who was involved in the conversation. There's a lot of good conversation about this, and I think a lot of good will come through it. So thank you all for being part of the process. And with that said, have a great break and good luck on your finals and your tests.
Questions for Dave?
About
the activity fee at all? How it works? Anything? All right.
Thank you. So we are well ahead of schedule, which is very nice. With that, we'll move into open forum. I know of two people want to speak at open forum, so I'll invite them up first, and then with the time remaining, if anyone has any other issues or concerns to the GPSA, you can bring it up at that time. We'll first begin with a UA update, and for that, I turn it over to Ed.
So essentially, you know, if you're running about schedule, I will take all kinds of time.
What?
No. So many people might not actually know what the University Assembly is. So like the Graduate Student Assembly, we're primarily concerned with graduate and professional student needs. The University Assembly is a parallel process which has representatives from the employees, the faculty, undergrads and graduate students. And we look at issues more to the whole body of the university. One notable difference, too, is that the Graduate Professional Student Assembly really are, we offer resolutions and advice to the president and the administration, and we control the activity. The University Assembly actually formally has policy authority over departments of transportation, United Religious Works, the bookstore, and a few others. And this is a serious power that the administration looks at. So if you have any interest in some of those issues, definitely contact me. The University Assembly has been mentioned a few times tonight. Notably, we recently established a sustainability committee, which Graduate Students have been very active in. Also, as Brian mentioned earlier, there's been some talk. It's been about a year process the University Assembly has been examining. The University Assembly has authority over the campus code of conduct, and this governs all students on campus. And there's a discrimination clause, which the University Assembly has been looking into. We have a code of judicial committee, which graduate professional students have a representative of. So if you have any opinions one way or the other as far as this discrimination clause, and I encourage you to familiarize yourself with it, contact the graduate student representative on that committee first. This is a committee that looks at both what we would like, gut reaction-wise, plus the legal standing of such actions. And that is the best place the University Assembly looks to that committee to then offer recommendations for what we pass. And then if your concerns you feel aren't fully met by the recommendations from that Code of Judicial Committee, then come and talk to me, because ultimately I will have to, and two other graduate students at the UA will have to vote on this clause, which is an update to the Code of Conduct. I just kind of wanted to update you on that. The other thing that we're doing is, like I said, the University Assembly looks at issues to the larger campus. So we have this legislative authority over policies of several units on campus. The University Assembly right now is looking at updating, modernizing its charter and examining its role as far as legislative authority. Do we really still need to have authority over the policies of transportation, I said bookstore? So if you have any opinions on that, let me know. It's sort of a trade-off between how much work can the University Assembly take on effectively versus what really needs to be managed that way. So please don't hesitate to let me know how you feel as far as those issues. And if you have any opinions as far as policy, which upsets you, say, with transportation, let me know.
Tonight I'll send out, when the PowerPoint is posted, Ethan's contact information. So Ethan is the one of the GPSA reps to the Code and Judicial Committee.
And that's an important one. I really do encourage people to take a look at that.
Any questions or comments for...
So I feel like I've heard a lot of people talk recently about transportation issues and then also environmental issues. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't seem like there's been a lot of connection between the two.
Yep.
If, I know, that was something that anybody interested in, you know, going forward, they've been talking about trying to work towards getting more, you know, public transportation for grad students, for example, or maybe more subsidized public transportation. Is that something that we come to you guys in general about, or is that like a sustainability issue, or is it a transportation issue, or is there any way that we can join the those together? What's the process?
So since the sustainability committee is really, we don't have a legislative authority over, I would probably say the biggest stick would be with transportation. Since we do have legislative authority over that, MUA is examining this right now as to what extent that stick is used within, I use stick in a very liberal sense. So if you have those concerns, I would say, we have GPSA representatives on TAC, so you can take them directly to them. But if you have the UA can task the TAC is the Transportation Advisory Committee. The UA can task TAC with examining a certain issue. And so if there is an issue, say, better bus routes, or if you're not happy with, say, the nighttime parking requirements on campus, or something that deals with more environmental issues, if you have a policy, you can also bring it to me, and then I can mention it to the exec board of the University Assembly if we want to task with examining this issue. Then I think that's an excellent route, and they'll discuss this and offer recommendations to the University Assembly.
So in terms of your relationship to the actual advisory board, so you would say you could task them with coming back to you with a recommendation. So are you guys just kind of pushing them to go in a certain direction? Is that what you guys do?
More requesting examination and discussion on an issue. Yeah. There's been a concern presented with an issue. Would you guys, your committee, examine this, discuss this, if you feel it should change, let the University Assembly know, and then the University Assembly can examine that. Your recommendation, hopefully, and act on it in the best interest of the university as a whole, and then offer a policy change recommendation. Okay.
Any other questions or comments? Yes, sir.
I just wanted to ask about the campus code of conduct
yep.
and the discrimination clause. Is there a change that's being proposed? I've searched a lot of it.
Yeah, there was basically an event last year which prompted a debate over what the university can restrict as far as, or what groups that are have affiliation with the university can restrict as far as membership and such. And so this prompted looking deeper into the campus code of conduct. There's a strong opinion on one side or the other, should groups be able to restrict based on foundational principles or, since it's a university, supported group. Should the university say, we have other concerns here. And then it goes with freedom of speech and all of these issues. So there was a proposal, and then it was the University Assembly suggested this to the president. What the University Assembly does is need to be approved by the president to amend the campus code of conduct. The president offered suggestions to change it just a little bit. The University Assembly then referred it back to the Code of Judicial Committee because they really have the expertise. They have the lawyers in the room and people from the law school who really know. I mean, I'm a scientist dealing with constitutional rights out of my forte. There's been a heated debate. There's been some articles recently in the Sun written on this. And if you have more, I can send you. If you email me, my email address is BRS37. I can send you some copies of what this wording has been talking about.
And I mean, this is a fiendishly complicated issue.
Yes.
University, as you probably know, is a private university, so it may actually do choose a higher standard or a different standard than one that is prevailing constitutionally. The university has, to date at least, extended constitutional rights and privileges to our university community. And to do it in some way that would be otherwise inconsistent is something that the university would rather not do. So it's suffice to say, if you're fascinated by the fine points of the law, you can really get into this. But
this is one that we're really going to look. That's why I say, rather than primarily contact me, contact the GPSA reps and the judicial committee, because we're really going to look at that committee to come back with expert advice to the University Assembly. The university really favors more towards the Constitution and the protections there, which is more freedom.
Anything else? Thank you.
Yes.
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 I've got to go to stage to read some Luke.
Oh, yeah. By the way, 7:30 at stage, if you're into the holiday festivity type stuff, a wonderful performance by the Glee Club and the Campus Chorale and the chorus.
The traditional Christmas or holiday event in Sage Chapel, and some of us will read from Scripture from the pulpit.
Service of Blessings and Carols.
That's what I have to go. I feel practiced online. Anyway, it's been a great semester. Thanks for everything you guys have done, and I'll see you in January.
Thank you, Dean Hubble.
Thank you. Next up, we have Mary for the GCA selection process. And before, I'll just preface by saying this was also in today's GPSA info, so you can read more about the website there.
Hi, this will be brief. My name is Mary Ann Krissa. I'm the graduate residence manager for Art Hasbrook, Hughes, and Thurston Court, but I'm also speaking on behalf of Maplewood as well. I just wanted to give you a brief update to let you know that we are going through GCA selection process right now. I believe the interviews don't start until February, but like you said, all of the information is on our website. We did do a lot this year to get the forms there, and so everything is centralized. I myself was a GCA when I was a graduate student here over at Maplewood. It was one of the best experiences I've ever had, and that's, you know, obviously why I'm now a graduate residence manager.
GCA.
Oh, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Graduate community advisor. So some of you may be familiar with like a resident are there. Resident advisor on an undergraduate level. This is more or less a graduate RA. But the issues quite aren't as, how shall I say?
Not the same.
They're not the same, yeah. So I'd say it's rewarding in a very different way. So if you have any questions or if you'd like to talk more about it, you can contact me. My email is mck35, and I'm up at Hasbrook, and I'll take any questions now if you have any. Otherwise,
is
that January? I believe it's the first week of February, but you can look on the, again, look on the website. Everything's listed there.
Are students on fellowship eligible?
Yes. There's a form that you have to fill out, and there's certain requirements, like can't be more than, I don't know, if it's 15 hours or 20 hours or something along those lines, but yeah, definitely. And we actually have a lot of openings this year, because there's a lot of turnover, so that's also a good thing for you guys.
Where is the website?
So the best thing for you to do, honestly, is just go to cornell.edu and search GCA application. It's under the campus life.
Okay.
You know, subsection.
We can put it up on the blog as well.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then you can send members of your field to the blog if you know if anyone else is interested.
And that, while there are many reasons to do it, one of the best advantages is that housing is included. And you get a small stipend as well, so, which is great, especially if you have a family.
Any other questions or comments? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any? Yeah.
Speaking of housing issues, I just wanted to bring something up. Brian assigned all of us on the GPSA to read some of the task force reports from the provost's office, and the task force report that I read was student enrollment, and it talked about trying to get more money for the university in these bad financial times by possibly increasing the number of students at the university, and one option was increasing the undergraduate student population by about 330 students, and if they were to do that, they would need increased facilities and increased services for undergraduate students, and one of the ideas that was discussed in the task force report as a possibility was the idea of turning Hasbrook apartment complex into an undergraduate housing area. And some of us who live in Hasbrook, such as myself, feel strongly that maybe this isn't in the best interest of graduate students. It's not supportive of diversity amongst graduate students. So if any of you have colleagues, friends, or if any of yourself are members of the Hasbrook community, and you feel strongly about this, please feel free to send me comments. So then, you know, when I go to the provost, we can at least make a case for preserving Hasbrook. If it turns out that that does move forward as a as an issue on the provost's docket,
and that in the letter to the provost tonight, the second page after the introduction is all about the idea of Hasbrook for undergraduates. The task force report I wrote was the Student and Academic Services. that report also brought up the idea of Hasbrook for undergraduates, and next week, Cresta and myself are having a meeting with Vice President Susan Murphy, who wrote that report. So at that time, Hasbrook may be brought into the conversation. Is there any? Yes. Yes, sir.
Is this converting all of Hasbrook to undergraduate? I remember something being mentioned about allowing some undergrads to live in Bacon.
Perhaps the thing with the distinguished student trustee back here would like to comment on that.
It's a little too early to tell. As Brian and Ed Hawk explained, there are two task force reports that identify this as a potential source of revenue and a potential solution for undergraduate student enrollment. The undergraduate student enrollment task force basically says, yes, we can increase the number of undergraduates by 300 students a class year. No, we shouldn't. So on that note, it seems like the university is very hesitant to move forward with that, which makes me think that the likelihood of Hasbrook going completely undergrad is close to zero. With that being said, the university has in the past moved undergraduates into Hasbrook. They tried to get students to live there voluntarily. They didn't get any students who wanted to do that. So for 1 year, they actually allowed put 30 new transfer students in there. The following year, after that, 270 transfer students, with the idea that West Campus, which was being completed at the time, had a lot less beds available, so there was no place to put the students. There was a large uproar from the graduate community about that about 4 years ago. The GPSA basically took the position that at that time, this was a growing pain of the university. We recognized that at that point, Hasbrook had a lot of beds vacant, which is not the case right now. And kind of as a response to that situation, we said, okay, go ahead. Only for this two-year period, we'll let you do this. And we came out with the Graduate and Professional Community Initiative to kind of really start talking about our needs as a response to that issue. And we need to protect some of our community zones here on campus. Now, with the whole financial crisis, they're looking at it again, either in terms of mitigating, you know, the problems associated with having more students on campus, or as a potential revenue source. They see the fact that they can fit three undergraduates in a two bedroom apartment as a revenue enhancement opportunity. So, the task force reports have been released. The university has probably, in my opinion, from how they're written, fully investigated how they plan on moving forward with this. And I think it's important right now to really talk with our leadership and express our concerns about having the university go down this path again, which was very undesirable the first time around.
Thanks, Ben.
Any other questions, comments, or concerns to open forum? Yes, Ben. Again.
So continuing on the conversation about the provost and the advisory committee and stuff, the members of the advisory committee, Nighthawk and Leon and I and Chris, who's not here at the moment, I think, were asked to suggest ideas. If we ignore the budget issue and ignore all the constraints of Cornell, what would Cornell need to do to continue to attract and retain excellent graduate students and provide excellent graduate experiences? And that's a very broad-ranging, open-ended question. I think a lot of the answers might be addressed in things like the Graduate Community Initiative, but we've been asked to submit a list, I think by Friday. If any of you have thoughts, or if there are issues in a very broad sense, not just academic, graduate life, quality of life, kids, family, what would help Cornell to be an even more excellent graduate environment in 10 years? Broad visioning kind of question. I'm sure any of us who are on the Provost Advisory Committee would love to hear your input.
Would you consider putting up a blog post?
I have considered that. I intend to do it too.
Okay.
But are there any suggestions right now, stuff that's been getting on your nerves for the past however many years? No? You came here, so you don't need to be recruited?
Well, this may be a minor thing, but I think many departments don't have very good websites.
I think we're looking for graduate students, graduate programs, the web is a huge resource, and I know my particular department doesn't have a great website, and there isn't really funding to hire someone to do it, and so I think that's one thing that maybe ours and other departments could benefit from and can help attract graduate students.
And also, besides departments, any student groups, you know, like field, field groups?
Yeah,
like fields of microbiology, we don't have the students, we don't have our website anymore. So in addition to departments, the graduate student groups based out of the department or field.
The provost attempted to stimulate discussion in this thing by asking us what we like best and least about graduate school at Cornell. So very tentative there, so there was quite a bit of discussion, but it actually really helped think about what do you like least about being a graduate student here right now, and what could Cornell do to change to make that thing better? We'd be interested in hearing.
I have one very broad thing, which I admit I'm very unfamiliar with this, but the fact that it's difficult, like funding-wise, to deal across different schools of Cornell, like particularly if you're involved in interdisciplinary research, like funding can become such a big challenge figuring out where it's coming from and things like that. And that's just like a very broad thing, but it's a kind of unique to Cornell, and there's all these multiple.
I mean, issues like that are very important to think about because when it's a reimagining Cornell process, it's not just about cutting money. It's about, you know, there's a lot of streamlining things that we're what the provost is trying to look at. So I think it'd be appreciative of hearing these comments.
Sri?
So that's interesting you brought that up because Ed and I were just at the Life Sciences Task Force meeting, and one of the things was this Presidential Life Sciences Fellowship, which allows incoming students, and that allows them to do research in a whole bunch of different fields, and then so a lot of those students end up going across doing interdisciplinary research across different fields, and that's the first funding for them, and they might be cut and things like that. So,
right. It doesn't have funding for them.
Yeah, I mean, the same issue came up when you were talking about the new public policy proposed, which is that, like, once again, you have social science fields that are, like, spread across multiple different schools and departments that have very different funding pools, and, yeah, I mean, if you're working with people in different
Sylvia?
So I think the MS program and the MS PhD programs are very different in some sense. So I would expect that the configuration would be very different. You probably want to include that.
There are, I think of the 10 of us on the committee, 2 or 3 are from professional schools. So they sort of give a little bit more. I personally sort of think of MEng as more of a professional degree than a research degree. So the professional schools are giving some input on that as well.
Good. That's great to hear. You know the best who are on the professional
side. Any more comments for Ben? And I encourage Ben to post this blog thing tonight. You know, so if you can't think of something now, please do the blog.
With our 3 remaining minutes, are there any, we're finishing this year, so obviously there's not going to be too many things on our plate between now and the holiday break, if you're able to take one. I hope that you are. But when we resume business for the GPSA in January, are there things that we should be looking at that we're not aware of or anything?
Sure.
This is a really quick thing. I'm Stephen Owen. I'm one of the 3 Slope Day representatives. And one of the ideas we kind of presented at the last meeting with the Slope Day Programming Board is to basically take the TGIF operations and just kind of ground them from bigger volume and put them on the slopes for one single day. And it would be a graduate-only thing, so we would go in there and pay $1 or $2 for 2 years. And, judging from some of the survey results, we thought this might be a good idea. And the undergrad Slope Day Committee seems to be supportive of this. So I just kind of want to get a gauge. If you guys think that would be a good idea, worth pursuing.
I come from my school members that if there was a grad only in your area, that would be phenomenal.
We have you
in one dollar. No,
you have my support. I'll say that.
So before we adjourn, now we have to get into the sentimental part. So just a reminder, our next voting body meeting will be on January 25th. The discussion of the letter that's going to the provost, I'll send that out ahead of time, and we'll plan at some point in January to go over it so you can see comments that other GPSA members have made on the task force reports, and we'll basically take it from there and see what exactly does the GPSA want to do regarding some of the recommendations. If you have final papers, final exams, A exams, Q exams, B exams, and any other exam you can think of, good luck. And with that, happy holidays, and I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
When is the next advisory board meeting?
Oh, February.
Wait. Oh, the voting by me.
Yeah.
February 1st, and the provost will be there, Ken Fox, will be presenting. So if you have a beef with him, or if you'd just like to hear him speak about the whole reimagining Cornell process, please come.
Motion to adjourn. Moved by Shreech. Second. Thank you. Meeting ends 7 o'clock. Thank you. Thanks.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.